These are in listen-only mode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Thursday afternoon performing note call. Looks like the office must have sent out the last month's invite. I logged in on the new number, and nobody was there, so I jumped back over onto this one. So anyway, looks like we're all good, and we've got a good crowd on today. So, well, I don't know about a good crowd being on today. We've got one exception there, Roman from Cleveland. He may sully the works there anyway. Hey, Roman.
I'm going to get on the phone again, Joe.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, I had to just get a jab in there.
I'm muting myself now.
Oh, you're going to go out and just do bad things to yourself.
I'll just write on the comment section.
You guys always have the last word, don't you? That's right. Very good. Everything going okay in Cleveland?
Yeah. Actually, yes.
Good. I was having a discussion with Bob and Eddie and a few of the guys the other day, and it was funny because we were talking about assets, you know, that Colonial has been selling, and it's funny. Bob was saying that it was kind of odd because, everybody will pick up the assets everywhere else before they'll pick up the assets in Cleveland. And, you know, I had to pipe in and say that, you know, I was up there. Roman drove me all around Cleveland, and I looked at the property, you know, a couple of things with Gary Oliver. And let me tell you guys, the assets in Cleveland are just fine. And if you're not bidding on those, then you're certainly missing out.
And for what it's worth, Joe, I mean, if I'll put it out, I might regret this, but if any note school student is interested in looking at a property here and wants my 2 cents, just shoot me an email. I'll respond.
Roman, since I'm inside the screen there, just shoot me your email address, and I will put it up there, and send it to me via text.
Okay, got it. Yeah.
And then I'll just put it up there, and guys, you know, don't blow Roman up. He has a business to run as well. So but I can tell you that, you know, the assets in Cleveland are good assets, and you know, we all need to be in there buying them. So anyway, and while I've got you on the phone too, I'll just kind of use you as a color commentator here for a little bit, if you don't mind. I just wanted to let everybody know as well. Please. Just make sure that if you want to broker Colonial assets to some of your investors out there, make sure that before you market those assets to other, before you take those assets down. Thanks, Roman. I'll put that up. Make sure you have your investors lined up prior to finding assets and bidding on assets that Colonial has out there. You know, it's always been proper to have your investor in place, to have your investors lined up, know what they're doing, so that when you do bid on an asset with Colonial, you can certainly just send that over, that information over to the person you want to broker that to, or the person that wants to buy it for their own personal portfolio, or they want to buy it in their IRA, anything like that. Make sure that you have that investor there so that you can take it down quickly. Not picking on anybody, but just make sure that you have that in place, and that's the proper way to do it. Not bid on an asset and then go out and try to find an investor. It just doesn't work well, and it's not fair to the guys in the office to have to come back and say, well, we'll pop this asset back up because it fell through because somebody was looking for an investor and it didn't come around soon enough. So anyway, just wanted to throw that out there and let everybody know, just to make sure they follow the system properly. But have your investors ready and ready to go.
Well, Joe, and to that end, I mean, what I've come across when I have approached investors about brokering notes,
right,
is they approach it much like they approach purchasing property,
right,
purchasing sticks and bricks. Their attitude is, and I'm sure some of the students on the call could bear me out. Their attitude is, well, I gotta look at it, I gotta kick it around, and it's like, if you could just touch upon the, I don't know if the correct word would be protocol, or the way a note, I mean, it appears to me that note selling has a different set of rules to the transaction than buying a property, in so much that there is no, first of all, and I tell this to potential investors all the time, there's no government entity that you're going to go to after you've bought the note that said, hey, I got ripped off.
Right.
You know, I thought I bought this, but I bought that, and I don't want that, and, you know, how do I get my money back? And it's right. Pretty much, that's what due diligence is for.
That's exactly right.
And it seems to me that the relationship between note broker and note purchaser is a very, very fragile one.
You know, it is, and there has to be a lot of trust there as you start out. Here's what I would suggest that everyone does if you're going to let me type this in here first. Guys, I just put in Roman's email address there. So it's roman@clevelandasset.com. roman@clevelandasset.com. He's been a big broker up there for years and does BPOs and all that kind of stuff as well. So here's what I would suggest if you want to develop a number of investors. And I would suggest that all of you, since we're on a performing call, that I would work with performing notes to our investors out there. Now, I know there are some people that, you know, that do this on non-performing as well, but it's a whole different animal, as you can imagine, when you're dealing with a non-performing note. So what I would do is I would pull off a couple of sample notes that you could sit down and show your investor what a typical note will look like. So I would pull the collateral file and just, you know, just let them know up front, this note is not available for sale. It's already been sold, but I want to go through the process with you. So we're going to go through, you know, the loan worksheet, the BPO. We're going to go through the collateral file as far as looking, you know, title and all of those things that you could get from Colonial as a sample of what buying a performing note looks like versus buying a property. Now, you know, the big selling pieces for these are going to be that typically they're, you know, they've been third-party service. They've had, you know, anywhere from, you know, 2 years to 3 years to 4 years of seasoning. And so there's a lot of, you know, a lot of things that should give them the warm and fuzzy feeling that they need in order to invest in that note, either inside their IRA or just as a regular investment. And, you know, perfect example is Bob Brayerton from Asheville. You know, he brokered three notes directly from Colonial right to one of his investors out there, and it went very smoothly. They got it done. Bob had three notes, let Colonial know that he was going to resell these or broker these notes. So always let Colonial or any investor that you work with know that this is what my goal is up front. Bob, the investor funded Bob, and then Bob kept his difference, and sent the and then wired to Colonial. And I heard him, he was talking last week or asking a couple of questions about that on last week about, you know, getting those over now into the investor's name. So I would sit down, show my investors out there, my potential investors, here's what it looks like. Now, you know, they, if you're buying at 12 and selling at par, meaning selling it at whatever the interest rate is on the loan, if it's an 8 or a 9% loan, that's fine too. That's how you figure your spread. So, you know, like I said, I would certainly just, I would sit down, show them the process, and then let them know that, you know, you can do additional due diligence such as ordering your own BPO as well as your own title search if that's what's going to make them feel comfortable. Does that make sense, Roman, to kind of go through it with that process in mind?
It does. And the reason I bring this up is that as a result of your last meeting here in our local RIA, and a bunch of them went down to the Atlanta 3-day, and that's kind of led into a note subgroup of the RIA that you know, wants to get involved in buying notes and both performing and not performing, although they kind of lead towards the not performing start. But they're coming into this, you know, not willing to invest in the mentorship. You know, the term vulture culture was thrown around.
Right.
Because notes are the basis of notes, and I just had a conversation with Robin Jackson about this, is if, you know, your due diligence up front is what saves your butt. And
well, that's exactly right.
Go ahead.
No, that's exactly right, Roman. Your due diligence is that. And, you know, we know that not everybody chooses when they go to a 3-day class to invest in mentoring. But, you know, and I can tell you that, and I've got Bob on the line here, Bob Bullinger, and, you know, I always use that example with, you know, Miss Pat Sloan was became a member of Bob's subgroup that he started there at his RIA in Virginia Beach. And, you know, he was showing an investment, and Pat, you know, said, hey, I've got, you know, $70,000 in my IRA. You know, I'd love to be in this investment. And so Bob sold her a partial, and that's exactly how, you know, how Bob got his first investor. She wasn't she was a note school. She'd been to a 3-day class, but she wasn't a mentoring student. And then, of course, after Bob, you know, took her through that process, then she became a mentoring student. So, you know, it's just kind of the process, and that's why I say that all of you, and I know I made that suggestion to everybody that was in that group there at Great Lakes RIA, that, you know, you do need to, you know, it's a great thing to start a note subgroup. And, you know, obviously you, Roman, if they're wanting to buy notes, then obviously you have the availability of inventory to sell to them. Now, obviously, if they want to get a higher yield, then, you know, they're going to have to go out and find their own inventory of notes. But if they're wanting to invest in, you know, a note for their IRA or something that they want to, you know, just hold on to instead of having their money, you know, sitting in a CD or whatever it is, drawing nothing, then they can, you know, you can do work. You can work with them as well.
And just to back up with what you had originally addressed when you were telling students about brokering, the feedback I've gotten from Colonial, and I'm sorry I don't know exactly who told me this, but they would really prefer that you own the note that you're brokering. I don't know if Colonial is still allowing us to broker their notes directly without that proof of funds in place.
Well, obviously the proof of funds and the ability to fund is always going to be up front, because, you know, we do want to make sure that, that if you bid on an asset, unless there's something that in your due diligence that you find is not good, then you have the ability to fund that. And it may be, and I think what Bob Brereton, did with his is I think he closed those in his name and those docs were received. And now they've got to, just have them transferred. And his servicer, he was having Allied service those. So Melissa and Sheila were just going to take care of that for Bob's investor there and go through that process. So, I'm not really 100% sure if that's the case, Roman, but that is something that I will find out, and I'll bring it back to the call next week if Colonial would prefer that you fund in your name and then do the other. But I do know that Bob Brereton, when he funded his deals, he had the investor, wire the money, and let's say it wasn't 100,000, but it was about 70,000, but something like that. But he wired the entire 100,000, and Bob wired the 88,000 to Colonial. And he kept the difference. So, he controlled that process. So it's really going to be the comfort level that your investor is going to have with you as well, I believe.
And not to manipulate your time, Joe, but would it be to our advantage as if that this is something that we want to pursue to perhaps set up within our company's escrow accounts?
I would think that would be a good thing to do, Roman.
Okay. Because it would seem to me that if if you're putting yourself out there and obviously transparency and honesty are the most important things that you can present in this transaction.
Right.
So to that end, to have those vehicles in place already when you are approaching the investor is, I think it gives you a certain level of professionalism.
Sure. Yeah. Hey, Bob Bullinger, I unmuted you there, and you had made a couple of comments, and I'll let you go ahead and share those if you want.
My observation is when I talk with the standard RIA investors, they're active. Roman said they want to, see the property, kick it, kick the tires, whatever. Most of them don't fully understand the difference between actually being a passive investor and being a active investor, because they're active people. They're out searching the properties and everything. And basically, I think that with the performing note, I've used the analogy, it's like on a passive investor, that's the person sitting in an airplane in the passenger seat on a 737.
Right.
They're going to get there to the end. They're going to get there maybe a little bit slower than the pilot who's flying an F-18.
Right.
The F-18 is a lot more exciting. You get there a lot faster. You can also crash and burn a lot easier. And it's they're actively flying the plane versus just sitting there in a seat riding it and getting the monthly payments. Right. That's mailbox money versus really being out there and being active. I've used that in our area because we've got a lot of military.
Right, and that's a great analogy, and the thing that I always use, and being a pilot as well, and I was at a mastermind here in July, and I was telling a story about that, and I said, guys, I said, so here's what you need to tell any of your investors out there, or even yourself, no checklist means death, okay? So, whether you're flying a 152 two-seater, then you're taking your first flighting lesson to the guys that are still, they're flying the new A380 Airbuses, or if you're flying an F-18 or an F-22, you still do a walk around and do the checklist every single time. Every single time. You never do anything without a checklist. And you're right as far as, the active versus the passive. Now there'll be a few passive investors. You'll find people that are more mature investors, and they've got some money that they want to invest, but you've gotta put it out there. You've gotta make the effort. I mean, right, Bob? I mean, you've gotta let people know what you're doing, and it's if you don't, God gave you a mouth, and He gave you a brain, and you just have to talk to people out there as far as what you're doing. And I think the whole subgroup inside of any RIA that any of you guys belong to is a place to start, and it's a place to cut your teeth as far as looking for.
I agree with that, Joe. You talk about a checklist. Basically, I think it'd be a good thing to just give them all the information that we're looking at. You know, what if it's a performing note, for example, let's say that the rent in an area is 800 and the payment is like 450. Well, that's certainly a really strong fact. We want to check that. We want to maybe have a BPO form. We'll give them the checklist. This is what we've already done.
Right.
You're along for the ride.
Right, right.
If this works for you, then we may want to move forward. If it doesn't work for you, it's just not for you.
Right.
Do a takeaway.
That's it, and that's
people
right.
Often what they can't have.
And you make them a copy of whatever it is you have, and you let them take it home and let them digest it. And, you know, I use the analogy, you know, you have some people say, well, I just as soon invest in a house. And I say, okay, well, have you ever invested in a stock market or a mutual fund or anything like that? Well, sure, yeah, I've done that. So did you have to go and see where the mutual fund was located? And did you have to, you know, walk around the building and make sure they had office space and all that kind of stuff as well? Well, it's the same thing with buying a note. We're buying something obviously much more tangible than buying a stock or, investing in a mutual fund or whatever it is. So, you know, that's the kind of process that we've got to go through. And it really is a process to take these folks through. They want to invest. You know, we know that there's all this dry cash sitting in self-directed IRAs all over the country. I mean, I was doing a presentation, and Jeff Watson was in the audience, and I said, you know, we know there's 30, 40 million or billion dollars sitting in, you know, as just idle cash in IRAs. And he said, Joe, it's a whole lot more than that. He said, it's a lot more than 55 to 60 billion dollars sitting in the IRA. So we know we've got it out there. And so it's just locking on to that and making the presentation. So Muzil said, do we need to purchase the asset before we broker the note? Muzil, I'm going to say that, you know, I'm going to have to check on that. If you bid on an asset and you need to follow through with the transaction, whether your investor does or not. Now, you need to tell Charles or Jennifer or Bob or whoever you're or Michelle or Tim or whoever you're working with on an asset. You need to tell them that it's your intention to broker that so that they can kind of know what the process is going to be. So as it comes out on the other side, there's not, oh, and by the way, I was going to broker this. Always let them know up front, and they'll tell you the process. If we've got different assets coming in from different sources, obviously things are going to be handled a little bit differently every time. So let's just be perfect in your communication with whomever it is you're dealing with at Colonial that it is your intent to do that. And again, I'm going to tell you, have your investor lined up and ready to go prior to. Don't find the note and then go out and find the note and then go out and find the investor. You know, I've always said if you're going to flip a house, do an assignment of contract, whatever it is, have your investors in the wings. Have them ready to go prior to going out there and taking somebody's house off the market when you have no chance in heck of taking down that deal if your investor doesn't follow through. And Jackie says, if you use an attorney to create the documents, then use the attorney's escrow account. And that's true, Jackie, no doubt about that.
Yep.
Okay, so, you know, again, great conversation. And you know, this is something that's available to you guys. And I think that it's a good place for you to make some extra income if that's what you want to do, just by, you know, doing some presentations. Again, the place to cut your teeth is in front of a natural audience, which is at a local RIA. And I will tell you that if you want to start a subgroup, you need to check with the RIA leader and let them know what you want to do, and then let them give it their blessing, and then you can go from there as you get into it. So that's all I got to say about that. If we've got no more questions, I've got a couple of deals that that I want to go through. I know that I've got one here that Andre from South Carolina had sent me. And I wanted to kind of show everybody that sometimes, you know, notes are done a little bit differently. And here's a perfect case on that. And Roman, Bob, you guys feel free to chime in on this. So this is a note that was created on a single family home between a investor and a seller. So the seller is selling this, or has sold this property to an investor. So it's not a consumer loan where you've got to worry about SAFE Act, Dodd-Frank. This is, you know, big boy, big girl to big boy, big girl. You know, it's one of those transactions. And it was created a little bit differently. This property sold July 22nd. So they signed the paper, signed the contract, and the this sale price was $65,000. The investor put $30,000 down on this property, making the beginning balance on the note $35,000. They did it for 44 months, so it's got a 44-month AM, a 12% interest rate, making the monthly payment about $991. Borrowers made three payments, there are 42 left. So, Bob, Roman, either one of you, what do you think about something like this?
Credit rating.
Yeah, but does, and I'm going to play devil's advocate here, does the verified, obviously, $30,000 cash down payment, if the property is certainly worth, if it is worth $65,000, with a $30,000 down payment, that sure takes some of the sting out of the whole deal. As far as, you know, you're already at about a 55% ITV, even if the credit isn't great.
I agree. And if he goes belly up, the key thing, I think, is to ensure that the actual value of the property, the ARV or whatever you want to call it, if the value is there. And I don't know if that's just a BPO or maybe even two BPOs.
Yeah, could be. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, when we look at the, you know, if we look at the documents, I mean, here's the note. I mean, it's now here's one thing that could concern me here. And this is done. I got to show you this. You see the name of the company here, guys, the CYA Real Estate LLC. I'm sure that stands for cover your assets, not cover your, you know, but I think that the, I don't know if that's Andre's company or if that's, you know, one of his person's company.
That sounds like something I would make.
Dorina, hey, yeah, hey. Cover your assets. That's right. I would do that. Does concern me, though, that if this is a truly an investor on this, that why they didn't do it in the investor's company name. So that's one of the things that I would obviously want to check on prior to doing that. But you know, with that being said, you look at it and it's not a bad thing. Hold on, let me see here. You know, we would, A, obviously, we value is king on this. If the value's there, even if the borrower is not great, you know, if the value's there and we buy it. Now, you know, the question is, so what do we buy something like that at if we were going to look at that. I mean, you've already got a 12% rate on it, so, and the term is very short, so we know that it's, you know, the discount's going to be very, you know, going to be very small based on that. And I can tell you that if I were buying this, I would want a minimum of a $5,000 discount off of the current balance. Current balance after three payments have been made would be $33,082. So we've got to quote this at a 22.75% yield in order to get at least a $5,000 minimum discount on this. So, you know, Bob, I mean, that gives you a Roman, either one of you, Zarina, it gives you a huge, huge yield over a short term.
I'm lost. I'm just listening.
Oh, you, this is Zarina. This is just Andre Hawkins had sent this in. And he's got a, where are we here? You know, guy bought a house, $65,000, $30,000 down, amortized it for 44 months at 12% interest, at $990 a month. He's made three payments, 33 is the balance. So, Bob, I mean, what do you think? I mean, would that be, would that, where would you want to be if you were looking at something like this?
I would feel just a little more comfortable, and yeah, the yield's great, and I agree with you in that $5,000 spread. I personally would feel a little more comfortable if you had maybe one or two more payments in there.
Yeah.
Because that's going to drive the ITV down, and you're again, it all goes back. Is it really worth the $65,000 that he sold it for? Because a lot of times these are sold at a premium price to begin with.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if the value's there.
Well, if the value's there, and the other part of that is I would certainly want to verify, seeing the closing statement, a HUD-1, whatever, to make sure that there was really, really the $30,000 cash down payment. It wasn't some type of trade. It wasn't a seller, you know, a seller second. So you got created a first and you created a second. Mm-hmm. You know, I would certainly want to verify the cash down on this if I were buying this for my own.
Okay, so Joe, so let's take this back this up with the feedback from Zarina and from Bob. So your first step would be, you would want to see the HUD, or do you want to do a couple BPOs to verify the value?
Well, first thing I would want to see before I spent money on it would be the HUD. I want to see. I want to make sure that that was really $30,000 in cold hard greenbacks that was put down on this property. So there was a true $30,000 down payment. It wasn't some kind of like kind trade. It wasn't, you know, a seller second that's in front of, you know, behind this. If it's a $30,000 second, then the buyer has no equity in the property. So once I verified that, then the second thing I would want to do is I would have a BPO done on this, maybe even a full appraisal done on it. Okay. And if I didn't want to do a full appraisal, I would certainly have a couple of BPOs, get a couple of opinions of value on this. After I had checked every website in the world to see, you know, see what it's really worth, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The credit wouldn't matter so much, and you know, it wouldn't hurt to do a partial on this either. I mean, we could say, look, you know, Bob, if you wanted a couple of three more months of seasoning, you know, just hold back another $3,000 off that minimum discount. And then after those three payments are made, then obviously you would release those others. Or you could do something like a shorter term partial. Maybe we do a 24-month partial and then come in and buy the rest of it if it was paid as agreed. If we did that at a 22% yield, you know, keeping it in the same vein there, we're at a 30% ITV, and we would be funding about $19,000 on that. So, you know, there's several ways to do something like this, but you know, the first thing is I would want to make sure that this was an investor, Number two, I would want to verify the cash down payment. Was that real? Number three is then going to be the value and making sure that's good. And then, of course, number four is going to be, you know, hey, do you want it all or do you want part of it? And Jackie asks, why would I want a minimum of a $5,000 discount? That's just me. There is no hard and fast rule. Some people may buy this at a $3,000 discount. So you really, I mean, if you plugged in, if we went in and plugged in on this, it's at a 12%, face value. I mean, even if we did a 16% yield on it, I mean, we still, you know, we've got a 16% yield, but we've only got a $2,000 discount because the current balance is 33,058. You know, we can go up to an 18 yield again, and you know, we got a $3,000 discount there. So we got to go about 23% to get it down there to where we've got a good safe discount. And I just, you know, that's just what I would demand on this. So any comments, guys?
Heck of a yield.
I guess that's your CYA.
That's right. That's your CYA. Just like Elvis used to put on everything he owned, man. He put TCB, taking care of business. All right. So Dave says, kind of interesting. I have this note under contract. Eddie went over this note on Monday's call. You do have. Wow. That's interesting. So Eddie did go over this. Hold on. Let me get Dave on the phone here. you know that Dave.
That's well, explaining.
Dave's all that. Over the place, man. I mean, Dave is connected, aren't you, buddy?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. You're so connected. It's almost scary.
Yeah. I was getting ready to think. Do I call this guy or should I talk to Andre first and we call him together? Because it sounds like he's playing both ends of the thing, even though it's under contract.
So you're not dealing with Andre on this. You're dealing with the note owner.
Andre referred my name to the seller in this note 2 or 3 months ago. We had a conversation. Nothing ever came about. The seller called me on this note maybe, 2.5 weeks ago.
Okay.
We batted back and forth. He said had another offer, and we played that game. Eddie put me on the hot seat Monday night in regards to this particular note. And as far as I'm concerned, it's going through. My buyer is going to be closing on it very shortly, but this is interesting.
Yeah, well, you know,
what are you buying it for?
It's a small world after all, isn't it?
And it sure
is. If you want me to hum the song while we talk here, it's a small world after all. You know, I can do that or not. But so,
not karaoke.
So do you mind... What do you have it under contract for? I mean, if you don't want to say, then you don't have to say, but what was your thought process when you were, you know, when you were looking at this as far as pricing it, obviously?
Well, number one, it's at 0% interest, so you've got to count it down. And the 12% doesn't come to play unless the guy doesn't pay.
You know, and that was interesting.
So it's 0%.
I saw that, but the interesting thing there was that the AM schedule shows it at a 12% yield. So I didn't really know without, you know, talking to somebody else on that. So, you know, that makes a huge difference. Because
I've got it under contract in the mid 20s.
Okay. So let's do something here. Let's take that from 12, if that's truly the case. And that would be something else, you know, you would need to verify. But I did see that, and if he's a day late, I think it reverts over to the other. So if we were to do that with that same payment, so you've got it in there at the mid-20s, and the seller accepted.
Correct. Well, maybe he's going behind my back.
Well, there's always... I don't know. What you should probably do is offline, just shoot me an email, and I'll get you Andre's, or I'll just make myself a note, and I'll send you Andre's information, and you guys should talk.
Yeah, if you would, that'd be great. Yeah, because I think he and I should have a conversation and then figure out how this is going to play out.
Yep, absolutely.
I know I have another one in, I had another one in California where the people sent me their information, including the contract they had with another note buyer. Wow. And I brought this up on a Monday call, I think, or maybe it's on your call, and I just sent an email back and said, I respectfully will decline to work on this unless it falls through because I'm not going to go around somebody else's back.
Right. And that's right. And I don't know. And Zarina, I know you did the calls for a long time. And you know, mm-hmm. I know I've seen this happen, you know, one time in the last couple of years that I've been doing this. And I'm sure you have as well. And I mean, we're
When I did it, I haven't seen this come up. Huh? I did it for a year.
Okay, well, I saw it. You know, it was a couple of years right after I first started, and I'm telling
you. I must have shoved it to you.
Yeah, the literally one of our students was in Washington State, and the other was in somewhere in the Midwest, and they ended up finding this note, and we were going over it on a call, and you know. One of the other students said, Joe, I got this under contract. And you know, so they were shopping it around. And obviously people do that, and it's their right. But once they have it under contract, and I do remember us talking about this a few weeks ago, Dave, but you did the right thing. If it's under contract, then leave it alone, and yours is a backup. But it's kind of unusual to see this when we've got two note school students and trying to bid on the same deal. So anyway.
Well, what's really interesting is that Eddie, I'll say, chastised me, for lack of another term, for not looking through this guy because the docs were in such good condition, you know, the way they were structured. And right. He said this guy appeared to be a real slick and slicker.
Right. Well, you know, I could say that, you know, the CYA could mean, if we're talking about Eddie, it could be the CYA could mean chew your asset. Right? Okay. So anyway, but it does have.
Yeah, shoot me Andre's information.
I will here in just a minute. I will give you Andre's phone number. And I think you guys should have a conversation and kind of get it together and decide what you're going to do from here. Cause I don't want to, you know, I don't want to pit one against the other. I think you guys need to follow up as a team there. So Zarina, I appreciate you being on. You said you have some kind of announcement that you want to make. So don't know how long it'll take, so why don't we go ahead and jump to you?
Well, it's not going to take a very long time. Is it possible? Hold on, I'm going to change it to me.
Okay, you got it.
Yep. Oh, back at the reins. Okay. So, so this is what I've been doing for the past. Well, some of you guys know who are older. When I did the Achievers Call regularly, we would just have these random moments where we would just make the students there as guinea pigs, and we ended up making some training courses and some really fun tools and stuff like that. So that was probably like back in 12, 13. I mean, it's been a while since I've done that. Anyhow, now that I'm on the liaison calls and talking to all these new students, one of the things Eddie had me do was he was like, can you write down, you know, what you're saying to them? And I was like, sure. So I got into this, you know, this kind of like script, right? And one of the things that I always tell the newer performing note students, especially, is one of the first things you guys need to learn is how to price and how to evaluate a note. Because later on, we're not going to be there to handhold you when you're talking to an investor trying to sell them a partial. You need to know how to do that. And so, you know, subsequently, the question that they asked me after that is, well, is there any training on that? Okay. And I'm like, well, you know, you get it by osmosis. So I don't actually say that, but that's really what it is. So I decided to make one. And there's been some things like I made a calculator some years back that has reappeared, and it's kind of making a buzz around Note School just behind the scenes. And I originally created that calculator because of the feedback from students. We were using the other calculator and they thought it was a little complicated, and here I had this different one when I did the pricing desk. Joe, you have a copy of that still.
Right.
And it's much different from the one that students have, so I kind of made this hybrid calculator, and we sort of used that, and it kind of, you know, went into obscurity for a little while. So what I decided to do was, okay, if I'm going to be teaching pricing, I kind of want everybody on the same page with it, and I need some guinea pigs. So what I've done is I've rehashed the calculator. It's called the Power Quoter. I think I'm on Delta now because I've done it like four times. So it's Power Quoter Delta. Actually, do I have that? Yeah, here it is. And I actually was on a webinar yesterday with Eddie, and he kind of gave me some pointers, so that's why this new version is up here. So this is a brand new calculator. This is what we're going to be using in this training course. I don't know how many weeks this is going to take. In my head, I'm guessing about four. But basically, my announcement is I need some guinea pigs, and I need you guys to volunteer. We're going to be utilizing the forum a lot because it's a way that people who miss things can still contribute and still give their feedback. And the goal with all of this is to not just have training, but actually have like some sort of workbook to go along with everything. So I need you guys' feedback. I need your questions, your answers, and we'll kind of forge through. So what I'm doing is, for those of you guys who want to join and sign up, there is a link on the forum. Let me go to that. Here it is. Pricing and evaluation course, new guinea pigs. So this is where it is. I think somebody's already replied.
Yeah,
Mary. Yep. So go to the forum, make a response in here. I'm going to kind of collect all the names, and we're going to really be doing this sort of on the forum, behind the scenes with everything, and then from occasion, I'll hop on one of these webinars and take over for Joe. I'm sure he won't mind.
Emmanuel, hold on a second. I want to bring my friend Emmanuel out here. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Very good. I saw him in L.A. a few weeks ago, and I told him, I said, I got to call you out at least one time. So there you go. So
I just talked to Emmanuel the other day.
Good. he is your first volunteer on this. And the question was, do you have to have a note, or you're going to bring some stuff to task there?
I'm going to bring some stuff. What it is, because it's pricing, we're probably going to be playing with that mock tape that we have in your materials.
Good.
A little bit. And then I'm also going to get a little bit nitty-gritty into evaluation. Like, why would you increase the yield on a particular note, and what influences, you know, which factor, how to redeem them. So from soup to nuts, really just how to price and really look at a note.
Good. Very good. I think that's a great thing. You know, we've got so many folks out there now that are, you know, are just buying notes for their own portfolios. And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, how would we price? It was just like Jackie asked the question there. You know, so why did you pick a minimum of a $5,000 discount? Well, that was just kind
right.
of, you know. Why, you know, and you go to the process, and it's what I'm saying, Green, is like you got somebody that has a 12% face value and
right.
a car on the note, and you're buying it at a 14. Well, that's going to be a very small discount depending on the length of term. So
mm-hmm.
you know, what does that look like? And, you know, the different ways to price, obviously there's the, you know, there's a price based on yield. There's a
right.
price based on maximum investment to value.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, a minimum your minimum discount that you'll accept on a as far as a percentage of unpaid balance. So
right.
you know, there are many ways to do it. So we want to make sure that you know you've got that and that can be worked through. So okay, very good. So how do you want them to go ahead and email you, or how do you want to do that, Jarena?
Well, I want them to put a post on the forum because we're going to be utilizing that a lot. And it's a way for them to kind of communicate amongst themselves as well, instead of just emailing me. So if you go to the forum and you go to the performing notes, you scroll down to performing notes. There's a general section, and then there's another section for seller finance. I stuck this in the general section of performing notes, and it's I'm gonna pull it back up here. Here it is. So here it is, general discussion, pricing and evaluation, meet guinea pigs. So reply to this, and this is also, I think I just posted up the link where you guys can download this calculator. So this is the one we're going to be using. Make sure you get a copy of it. There's going to be a lot of homework, but I don't think any of you guys will mind that.
Well, homework is a good thing.
Homework is a great thing.
Yeah, guys, it's, you know, I can't, and we can't stress enough using that forum. I know we've got a few folks that are using it and are posting information that they're discovering. Guys, please use that and make sure that you are, you know, you're when you discover something, like you don't need to record a land contract here, or you don't need to do this, or whatever it is, or just anything that you have when you encounter something that is new to you, please post it on the forum. That way, everybody mm-hmm. gets the benefit of your discovery, and then it can be a real meaningful tool. I know you guys aren't using it like we'd like to see it used, but please, if you'll just kind of go there, and what you're doing is you're, you know, it's a peer-to-peer deal where you're helping not only yourself, but you're helping others on there also.
Absolutely.
So please do that.
Hey, Joe?
Yes.
Where I'm on the site now. Where is that? I can't find that.
Hey, Zarina, why don't you do this? Why don't you go ahead and got control of it? Will you show everybody how to get there?
I will. Give me half a second.
Dave, did you get that? Did you get the email with Andre's phone number?
I don't know. I'm down to one screen because I blew my computer yesterday, so I'm really handicapped.
Oh, my God.
Oh, okay. All right. So
you're
on the regular website here. The quickest way to get to the forum is you go to connect, and here's the link directly to the forum. And it's the same username and password as the membership site.
So I'm under connect, and then there's forum. Okay, I see it. Okay. Okay.
Zarina, why don't you go ahead and log on there, if you will.
I'm logged in.
Oh, you
so
are.
So once you, yeah. So once you get here, you'll see forums here. Just click it. My computer's kind of slow today. Scroll down to performing notes here and general discussion. Or you can just click directly on here. It doesn't matter. General discussion, and then you'll find exactly where my post is. Pricing and evaluation course, need getting picks. Ooh, look, some people have signed up.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Good deal. Hey, Zarina, just go ahead, since you've got it there, you want to open it real quick, and let's just see what some of the latest posts are, just to kind of...
Yeah, who's on here? Let's see. Jackie, Buddy J, Brian, Dennis O. Cool.
Good. Should be on the floor, so again, you know, just, you know, it's a great thing, and it's a great tool, so...
Yeah. Make sure you guys download this. Maybe I'll highlight this or something, make it bigger. But make sure you download this calculator. So, yeah, Joe, I just wanted to take over for a few minutes and kind of announce it to everyone. It's I'm not trying to take over your your achievers call here. But this was really something that we did some years ago, and it helped a lot of students. And since then, we haven't done a lot of it. And my role has changed, but I do have a little bit of time, not so much to necessarily host webinars anymore, but I do have time to put some things together, but I just need some seats and some butts in the seats. So volunteers and guinea pigs are my thing.
Hey, Zarina, will you answer the question there from Emily? She's at, and she may can hear me. Yeah, Emily, we'll be off in time for Martha's webinar to start at 1 Central, so. Okay, guys, please go in, sign up for that. Please use the forum. We'll square this away as far as the proper way to handle a situation. As far as if you're going to broker a note from Colonial, I know you want to keep, you know, inform everybody what your intention is. So I will find out the best way to handle that, and then we will we'll go from there. So let me check for questions.
No call on Monday.
What's
no
that?
Monday.
Oh, that's right. So, no, Sylvia, there is no call on Monday, so Monday's call will be canceled. We'll start back again on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So, everybody have a wonderful and safe long weekend. Ralph is asking, you may see that, Zarina. Are you going to send reminders of the date and time?
Yeah. I am.
Okay, good.
You guys make sure you sign up for the September through October webinar, because this is the last one on the August and July.
Okay. Yeah, I first logged in onto the September and nobody was there.
Yeah, so make sure you guys log on to September, October for next week.
Right. I'm going to let Ms. Martha take over the line now, guys. We appreciate you. Have a great long weekend. Be safe, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Good afternoon, everybody. Bye bye.
Bye guys.